Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Jenna Flanagan, filling in for Allison Stewart. And now it's time to take a trip into WNYC's archives with the station's chief archivist, Andy Lancet.
This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.
New York City's own station, WNYC, in the city where more than 7 million people live in peace and enjoy the benefits of democracy.
This week, we're looking at the history of women's suffrage. The right for women to vote in the U.S. was ratified on August 18, 1920, making this past Sunday the 99th anniversary of women gaining the right to vote here in the U.S. With us now, with some real audio treasures from this time, is none other than Andy Lancet. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So, Andy, to start us off, can you tell listeners a bit about who Carrie Chapman Catt was, because she's one of the central voices in much of the tape that you found.
Well, Carrie Chapman Catt was a suffragette and peace activist who also directed the National American Women's Suffrage Association, and she founded the League of Women Voters. She was a central voice for the fight for the women's right to vote, especially here in New York, and you can hear her describing some of that struggle in this clip.
The organized woman movement dates from 1848. When a convention to consider the rights of women was held in Seneca Falls, New York. The committee drafting the list of women's wrongs found that her grievances against the government of men to be the same number that American men had had against King George. It took George Washington 6 years to rectify man's grievances by war, but it took 72 years to establish women's rights by law. At least 1,000 legal enactments were necessary, and every one was a struggle against ignorant opposition. Woman's suffrage is a long story of hard work and heartache, crowned by victory.
So, Andy, what form did this ignorant opposition that you mentioned sometimes take?
Well, all kinds, really. But as an example, here's a commercial anti-suffrage song that was recorded on February 24th, 1925. Now, this is several years after women gained the right to vote, but it's indicative of the kind of tropes and rhetoric found in period topical songs and vaudeville routines that were published and performed in 1919 and 1920, and that unfortunately persisted afterward.
Some fine morning we'll all awake, find a stand that the women will take. They've changed this world all upside down. We'll have a lady mayor in every town. They'll spend all the money we poor men make to run the country they'll undertake. They say that the men do not advance, so I think it's time that the women had to fan. The men the house will have to pick while the wives talk politics. They go in the legislative hall to say they're going to make the laws. The old maids will be in power then. They'll try to marry all the single men. The man that refuses to take a wife will have to go to the pen for life. The men will have to take back.
So despite these derogatory ideas about women, they did gain the right to vote in 1920. We gained the right to vote in 1920. Who were some of the men who were, I guess you could say, allies who also supported women's suffrage?
Well, there were, of course, people at progressive magazines like The Nation, and there were some other notable standouts like Rabbi Stephen Wise, who was a founding member of the Men's League for Women's Suffrage. And on this rare 1915 shellac Pathé phonograph record, he discusses the virtues of women gaining the right to vote.
The vote of women will mean the beginning of the end of war. Men have been war makers, women will be war breakers. The vote of women will not be better than the vote of men, but better than the vote of men will be the vote of men and women together. And both together should have the right to do better on behalf of the state.
Was this a commonly held idea that giving women the right to vote would also lead to an end to all wars?
Indeed. This idea of women supporting anti-war efforts persisted well after women gained the right to vote. And again, here's Carrie Chapman Catt actually being interviewed by Eleanor Roosevelt in 1944.
My congratulations, dear Mrs. Catt, on your 85th birthday. I have always been grateful to Mrs. Catt for active leadership to my generation. In your opinion, what should the women of America do now for the new generation?
Thank you, Mrs. Roosevelt. I hope that some millions of American women will unite with the women of other lands after the close of the war and will all together insist upon the abolition of war as the primary object in the peace terms.
Andy, I want to thank you for always illuminating our history with sound. And if people want to learn more about New York Public Radio's archives, where should they go?
Well, to hear more past programs, they can click on the archived shows link at the bottom of the WNYC.org homepage. And also, listeners can subscribe to the New York Public Radio History Notes e-newsletter by going to the WNYC.org/newsletters page.
All right. I've been speaking with WNYC's chief archivist, Andy Lanset. Andy, thanks for joining us on All of It.
Thank you.
After the break, composer Ellen Reed discusses her opera Prism, which deals with sexual assault and trauma, and won the 2019 Pulitzer Prize in Music. Stay with us. More after a break.